Ding dong. Hello?
This is Basic's Guide to Women's Wrestling, your best source for women's wrestling commentary and recaps. And this is your 2023 Elimination Chamber recap. I'm your semi-basic host, Liz.
I'm Joseph.
I feel like with this chamber event, when Bailey's not on screen, we should all be asking, where's Bailey?
She is in San Jose. Because she told Triple H, I'm not going to be in your stupid little chamber. After he was like, oh, you got to choose between me and Mercedes. She was like, that's not a decision, Hunter. I will see you on the 19th.
I don't think that happened.
That definitely happened. She said, book me out of Elimination Chamber because I'm going to go see my friend and I'm going to do it in Seth Rollins' suit.
Yeah, that was a Monet suit for sure.
That she stole from Seth Rollins. I'm sure Becky was watching that fuming.
She was like the Leonardo DiCaprio gif. Hey!
She went all the way I up know to that Seth's suit. Room and went through his stupid rooms of suits looking for that stupid money one. And when she couldn't find it, she said, why is Bailey in your suit?
The rivalry continues. But yeah, I mean, it only made sense for Bianca to win. Becky and Bailey should not have been in that match. Except after watching that chamber match, Becky and Bailey should have been in that match.
One more proper wrestler would have done that match so much better. TJ can't keep booking his wife in matches.
So that was a TJ Wilson, Molly Holly production.
Needs to move over. Yeah, everything that I didn't like from that was on TJ, and everything that I did like from it is on Molly. It's the same.
Obviously.
Triple H, Shawn Michaels booking. but standard. Yeah, you have a wife. In this division, you're biased. If his input is really that invaluable, have him book the women, have him produce the men's matches because Natty had no business being in this match.
Yeah.
I know. I realize she's Canadian and the people were hyped for her because they were hyped for Sammy and Edge. I'm pretty sure she was an afterthought that she was Canadian.
I think
they saw her come out with the flag and they're like, oh yeah, Natty's here.
No, what happened is they heard Bret Hart's music and they're like, oh yeah. And then they were like, oh yeah, Natty.
Is she even born in Canada?
I'm sure.
Whatever.
Right?
I don't know. Keep getting away with this. She can't be in these matches.
Okay, so let's talk about Elimination Chamber. So I was right that Natty and Liv were going to start it off.
And they should not.
They should not have. Yeah, honestly.
Compare the first 5 minutes of that or however long it is until Raquel gets unleashed to the first 5 minutes of Mercedes and Kairi, and it's like completely different.
Well, leads. I would even say like until Nikki was actually unleashed.
Yeah, that's even true. So, for a place that calls themselves, that likes to refer to themselves as the big leagues, like no.
Oh, no, no, no. Okay, just for as a reminder, it was Natty, Liv, Raquel, Nikki Cross, Carmella, and Asuka that were all participants. Natty and Liv are the ones who kick it off. And oh my goodness. What's so frustrating about them is both of them, they're kind of selfish wrestlers in that they are just trying to get their spot and get their moment. Because that's kind of like, I don't know, it's a very divas mentality, I think, on Natty's part because of the era that she came from.
Scarcity of time.
Yeah. And it's like, no, girl, like you can let these matches breathe. You don't have to try and get like, not every shot is going to be, I think that's what it is. I think she's thinking every camera shot has to be like the thumbnail. And that's all she's wrestling towards because I feel like she's so camera obsessed. And Liv is just trying to like make a moment. But the thing is, like, you can't throw three code breakers and like expect it to stand out each time. Cause they like honestly, Liv just kind of blended in. Like,
or
her
deliver an offensive move and then take a 10-minute nap.
We'll talk about that too. But like, yeah, she kind of like blends in. So honestly, between Liv and Natty, I'll remember them sticking their heads through the chains, but that's kind of it because like they went in really hot.
They tried to sprint and get to stuff that they shouldn't have because, like, this is an elimination chamber match. And especially knowing that they weren't going to be eliminated before most of the women got in there. Why are you going all, like, automatically to these big-ass spots right away? Like,
that's
it just shows
thing.
That
yeah.
they need some... They need more people on this roster that understand psychology and not, like, the flashy trying-to-get-yourself-over-ness of, NXT.
That's what it is, yeah.
Because Bayley and Sasha know how to draw stuff out. Mercedes, like, know how to draw stuff out.
Becky...
And losing Mercedes... Losing that aspect of Mercedes is what's really going to hurt them because not a lot of people in this company have shown that they can do that.
No.
Natty's one of your veterans. She should know better.
She
does in a lot of her other matches. I don't know why that didn't come across here.
Yeah.
It's been less and less the case, I will say, in this stage of her career. But for a while, like, she knows in-ring psychology and, like, working on stuff and stuff like that. But, like, here, how are you going to get rubbed into the chain and then keep on going and keep on going and keep on going? It makes the Elimination Chamber look like an afterthought.
Even if Natty, like, took Liv out right away, which is also why you shouldn't have had them start off first, that would have been interesting. Yeah. Shayna coming in and, like, destroying everybody. Like, you could have had that with Raquel and her, like, eliminating maybe Natalia right off the bat and then just sitting in the corner, like, filing her nails or something.
Or Raquel beating Liv for a few minutes, like, a while, and then actually giving her a reason to lie out for 10 minutes.
Let's get to the Raquel part, because she was hesitating a lot. That was, like, a very...
rookie performance.
Yeah. And here's where I'm going to say, like, you can tell they're very NXT homegrown. And this is where you would have benefited from having, like, an indie girl like Candace, like Piper, be in this match. And you, yeah, it was just.
This is where you would have benefited from booking the women the way Vince McMahon had been booking the women. Or Triple H has come in here and just booked them completely to shit. Completely to shit.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there.
Nobody does. And, like, it's completely baffling considering the roster that they have, the talent that they have, and the storylines that they could have gone with, that they are favoring to go to predictable, old, reliable bullcrap that doesn't.
And, like, you still, okay, so obviously Asuka won this, as everybody figured. But even if you knew, like, that was the outcome, you still could have had a much better performance. And honestly, Nikki and Carmella were the saving graces of this match because they made it entertaining.
We don't talk about men's wrestling on here, but in the men's chamber, Montez became a star that night.
Yeah.
To the point where he could have won and people would have not, like, people would have been into it. There was no performance like that on the women's side because not only because everybody knew Asuka was going in, nobody thought Montez was going to win, but everybody came out thinking, okay, Montez needs a belt now. Like,
nobody
there was
no
performance like that in the women's. And it's they don't give it to the people who could give that performance.
Well,
like, they haven't given time to the people who could give that performance.
You could have given it to Piper. You could have given it to Candace and, like, shown that they're the actual hardcore girls. You're not going to convince me that Liv's, like, same tired moves over and over again are, like, the standout. She did have that cool spot off the pod where she did the sunset flip, but
she powerbombed Raquel and then took a nap.
She took herself out with her own move.
Right. So, like, you landed on your butt and then you're done?
She was out. Yeah. So, oh my gosh, can we talk about
that is a TJ production.
Can we talk about the slowest decision. Sunset flip in this match? So who was it? Raquel was holding Liv, I think.
Yeah.
And Natty went in under and Raquel picked her up and then she was able to, like, worm her way underneath and they called it a sunset flip. But it was, like, the slowest looking move where Natty got down and was like, okay, I'm gonna push you now into the fence.
To be fair, it looked like when Bayley was working out her flip when she was powerbombing people into the bottom turnbuckle. It looked about as good as that. To be as biased as I can, or as unbiased as I can on here. That move just doesn't look good.
It was not very good.
Yeah, when you have that combination of people, it's going to look even worse. If Bailey can't pull it off, you certainly can't pull it off, Natty. I'm sorry.
One thing I did like that Natty did was when she... Okay, I didn't like people sticking their entire heads through the chamber holes because, like, big deal, your girls... You guys all have small heads. Of course they're going to fit through. It didn't look very painful at all. Wow. But then Natty was, like... pulling Liv's arms behind her.
I will bury Liv every opportunity I get, but that was, if you look at those two spots, Natty was the dumb one to put her stupid head through the hole because Liv is the one actually applying the force, where Liv is selling for Natty and she's the one who put her neck on the chain. That was actually a better decision. Like that. Yeah, that showed in particular, we don't need Natty in these matches anymore. And TJ needs to be producing men's matches, not women.
Yeah, there were a lot of slowness. And then even with Raquel coming in, she really should have been like, and they did build her up when she came out of the pod. Like, oh yeah, she's like a force to be reckoned with or whatever they were saying. She didn't do that. We know that she's huge and can like be taking everybody down, but she didn't do that. Once Nikki Cross came in, things picked up a little bit. Things got a little bit more interesting.
Yeah, I've seen people shitting on Nikki more and more in the last few weeks because there's like Liv around and she's not getting stuff, and Candace around and she's not getting stuff, and Mia not around and she's not getting stuff, but none of them are better than Nikki. Like, I love Candace. She's never put on a match like the Last Woman Standing match that Nikki can put.
I mean,
she's never reached the potential that Nikki has.
And story aside, I'm talking about the story of what they're giving her. Yeah, right now, with story aside, because it's not good for Nikki Cross. But this performance that she was giving
saved it. Because if you go any longer in that chamber with it being boring, they are lucky that that crowd is as hot as it was.
Yeah.
And then Nikki can do what she can do.
Yeah. And so she kind of like injected more personality into this match.
Well, she did. Her character right now is chaos. Yeah. And that's what that match really needed, because it was.
But isn't like Liv supposed to be all the counter? Yeah,
exactly.
Or like, what is it? Mirror? Chaos. Yeah. She's also supposed to be that. That's what I've been noticing. Like Nikki kind of did the same thing that Liv has been doing, you know, like they put Liv in a submission hold and she's like smiling as she's passing out, but so does Nikki. And I, again, am just biased, but like Nikki does it better. But yeah, Nikki jumping off her pod onto everybody too was
Carmella's pod. Carmella's pod.
Yeah. Got everybody like on their feet there. And then what was actually the first elimination? Because it was all four of them in the ring before anybody got eliminated.
It was Nikki, I think.
I know Nikki was the first one, but was this also after Carmella?
Carmella got in, yeah. They didn't have all of them in at once. They're almost.
Oh, a little thing that we had pointed out, but it's obviously not going to get explored. But the way that Nikki was staring at Carmella...
Yeah.
While she was in her pod was super, like, it was subtle, but I guess like it's not like nothing's gonna come of it because we watched Raw.
Yeah.
But yeah, like Nikki was just kind of staring at Carmella like, oh my God, I want you to be my friend. I want like to be all around you. I would love that tag team pairing.
Unless you're bringing Sanity back, she needs to be Nikki's creepy little like, or Nikki needs to be her creepy little like follower that brings her broken women's bodies. Like, look what I brought you, Carmella. Aren't you happy? Like, she's like, no, I don't get Raquel's blood off of me.
Actually, you know what? They did kind of.
And like, then Carmella could do her like comedy stuff and contribute then, because that's what she's good at.
You reminded me of something, because on Raw, whenever she had her interaction with Candace, she told Candace something about how like all her friends have left her.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe we will see her like put into a faction or a grouping setting or something.
It seems like they're trying to pair her with Candace, but really
they should pair her with Carmella.
How much? How expensive is it really going to be to get sanity back? Not that much. Just fire Hit Row and then give them their checks. I promise you they'll get much more value out of sanity.
Or turn Hit Row into sanity. Rebrand them. They do it with everybody else. So Nikki, she was just like going feral. And I don't think anybody was really appreciating that, especially online. A lot of divas wrestling stands. Yeah. Like they're fans of the diva style.
10 people who run Liv Stan accounts that also desperately want them to bring back Melina and all these other divas. Which like I'm not opposed to, but
we have such good women.
Do you realize who we have now? We have one that the only one that should be brought back wrestled in this event, and you're never mentioning her. So maybe it's not women's wrestling that you care about, but you care about looking at attractive ladies in a ring.
But again, look at the women that you have right now. I would say equally as attractive.
Yeah, I'm not.
And even more talented. It's just
such a baffling.
Yeah.
To give to your life. I guess running 50 Twitter accounts promoting Liv Morgan.
Well, I guess you can't please everybody. Like, it's always like they want to give divas a chance. They want a revolution. Then they get it and they're like, now we want the divas back. Like, it's whatever.
Nostalgia. Build new people. It's time to do that shit because Raw is playing the hits and I am not into it as much as all these marks are.
So just there's a lot of hesitation between like these first group of women. Honestly, when Carmella came out of her pod, we got a little bit more again of like her character work, and I thought that made it more interesting. Like you were saying, if we just had one more professional in this match, I think it would have had a better pace.
I was opposed to Carmella being in this, but she contributed like a lot of the best moments in here.
Yeah.
If she can scream just as well as Liv to sell stuff she showed at the end of the match, like, we don't need Liv Morgan here because Liv Morgan's not funny like Carmella is, and Nikki has the masochist gimmick going much better. Or give her another gimmick.
You've already done so many tries. Do give another
her
one.
Her millionth gimmick. Whatever.
What's another try going to hurt? So Raquel actually eliminated Nikki. She slammed her through the pod. Was Carmella in there when that happened?
She was, and then she ran out. The timing on it was really good when I watched it back the second time. Yeah, she ran out a few steps before Raquel
slammed her through. Yeah, so she like dragged her out and she eliminated her there. When Asuka came out, though, like that was what we were just waiting for. We knew she was going to be last, but when she finally came out, oh, thank goodness. Her going Asuka's straight so good for Carmella.
Just even before that, like, everybody's interactions with her and her facials throughout that, like the calm joy she had on her face.
Yeah.
Like, she looked like Darth Maul behind that red door in Phantom Menace, just waiting to be unleashed on these women. Like, and she knew she was going to. The thing. She wasn't like clawing at it or like fighting back whenever they'd come up.
She's like, yeah,
it wasn't Carmella did come up and she was like telling her she's not afraid of her. And like that was when she kind of let her patience go a little bit as she was slamming back against her. But for the most part, she's just like waving back and forth, looking like a snake ready to strike.
Yeah.
Like it was so. She was. Those shots and Nikki carried this match for me.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then the shot of the night was inadvertent when they got Carmella shrieking, trying to get into one of the pods to get away from Asuka. As they got like, there's no way they were trying to get that shot, and they did. It was perfect.
I was gonna say you only caught the back of her head across the camera.
She's so fast too. And you only know it was her because she was shrieking.
So she was screaming,
and she had just said not 3 minutes before. I'm not. You think I'm scared of you, Asuka? When push comes to shove, she shrieks and runs into the chamber. It was great.
That
was one of the moments of the entire chamber.
I was gonna say, I really don't want to like shit on Natalia some more, but we got a face off between Natalia and Asuka. I was thinking, cool. Yeah, this is going to be pretty cool because like they're both good technically, and Natty just she cannot keep up. She couldn't keep up with Asuka. She's not ready for her. But they did have that cool spot where they did a double submission on Liv. So Natty put her in her figure four. And then Asuka just comes over like, should I do it? And put her in her, was it an arm bar or something?
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Whatever she did, she got the other half of Liv's body. And so she didn't submit or she didn't tap out. She like passed out, right? I think the ref called it. She couldn't move. She couldn't tap out. She was asleep.
But it just seems from week to week, there's no consistency there because on Monday, Liv was shrieking. Here, Liv is happier than she's ever been being forced to go to sleep from pain between these two women. Like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah,
no consistency there.
And it's not even like against her, it's the booking there, because like, why are you going to have her do that and then sell for Asuka that way? And
be double submitted this time.
And then be happy this time.
Yeah.
Like that makes no sense. And that's where there was complaints there.
Especially when there's not like a supernatural element to this too that you could blame it on.
Yeah. The annoying thing is like they got a reaction. They got a boo for when Liv lost. And I think it's only because they set them up for disappointment because there was a showdown with them.
Oh, with Asuka and Liv.
The night before. And like, I promise you people don't care enough to boo if Liv gets eliminated from the Elimination Chamber unless you tease that.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
So if you hadn't done that, there's no way you get that sort of reaction, which is so annoying because now they're going to learn, people like Liv Morgan. They want to see her do stuff. No. We wanted to see Asuka do stuff. We also just wanted to see a better wrestler go to the finish of this because Natalia shouldn't have gone further than Liv Morgan.
I was going
to
say,
match.
When we say we... Because I don't know.
I would join Marks and say no. TJ must be stopped. And there's no way Natalia should have gotten any further than anybody in that match.
No, agreed. But also, like, why would you think that it was going to come down to Liv and Asuka? It was always going to be Carmella. You guys, it's Carmella. And they've been, like, teasing the Asuka-Carmella angle for a little bit since she's gotten back, too.
Yeah.
And we're getting Carmella versus Asuka next week, even though Asuka's like going for the title now.
Yeah, she's smashing everybody now. She's just not going to lose to WrestleMania. I'm past it, really.
New streak. So Liv gets eliminated. Okay. Complaints about Liv's million code breakers, but also I won't complain about Carmella's million super kicks.
Because it's more practical. How many times have you seen the Young Bucks hit super kicks or like Adam Cole hit super kicks in matches? Because you could do it out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's just such an easy move to do and it actually looks good as opposed to like a code break. How many fucking code breakers can you put in one match? Learn another, just one other move. Please, Liv Morgan.
Well, that's the thing is like... Yeah, she's just, it's funny. It's funny. She's very predictable, but also like she's predictable in her moveset, but not consistent in her character work. See, this is why they need to take her off TV because this is just turning into a Liv shit fest right now. There's too much Liv on TV. But anyway, at one point, Natalia had Asuka in her figure four, but Carmella super kicked Natalia. And then pinned her right away. So yay, Carmella got an elimination. Liv is out, Nikki's out, and Natalia's out before... Oh yeah, Natalia did get out before Raquel. Okay, so Carmella super kicks Raquel. Asuka kicks her as well. And then they both rolled her up to pin her. But honestly, with Raquel's performance, like either one of them could have pinned her. Like they really didn't need two people. to make us believe that that's the only way she'd be eliminated. It looked cool, though.
She's a powerhouse, so she had to be eliminated by two people.
Just saying that with that performance, you wouldn't have convinced me she was a powerhouse.
Well, the problem is they haven't been booking her like a fucking powerhouse for the last 3 months like they should have, or 2 months like they should have. Call in jobbers for her to just destroy. But hey, Triple H doesn't give a shit about women's booking because he's got to tell this, got to wrap up the Sammy storyline because they got to get to the Cody storyline.
No, that has to go on for 1,000 more days. I don't know what you're talking about. But yeah, that was the other thing too, is Raquel, I'm not gonna be biased here. Like, she just has not been pulling it out on SmackDown. And it's not because of booking.
I'm gonna blame it on booking, I'm gonna blame it on time. I'm gonna blame all of the women's book, all the women's stuff on booking and time right now. And Liv Morgan. Because the time that they should be giving to better wrestlers is going to Liv Morgan inexplicably. Like that question that you had about Bayley earlier, for some freaking reason, Triple H thinks that that Liv Morgan should be the subject of that. And
Liv Morgan's poochie?
Absolutely not.
So Raquel gets eliminated. Now it's just Asuka and Carmella. And they did actually have like a pretty cool sequence of the roll-ups.
At the end?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't that much longer. They weren't in the ring that much longer. So right away, they were just like trying to get the pins on each other. And again, Carmella just... We're not going to say she's like the best technical wrestler, but she is like... just such a great performer. And I'm glad it came down to the both of them at the end. Because we would have seen 5 more code breakers to try and get Asuka out. No. In this case, it was just a few roll-ups. And then Asuka did like a really cool reversal out of her pin into a submission.
See, if you let Nikki go in there with her and then them code another few minutes at the end, Nikki gets that star-making performance, and then you have another person to rely on who can carry matches, but whatever.
Yeah, because, you know, okay, and we've talked about this before, but Asuka and Nikki Cross had a last woman standing match on NXT, and it's one of the greatest matches ever. They're not tapping into that. They really, I don't know, like, the way that you're shoving everyone, like, Liv down everyone's throats, like, you can do that with Nikki Cross.
You can do that with...
But not
it doesn't
not
have
as...
to be one person.
True. No, but I'm just saying, like, yeah, like Nikki, everybody like had a great reaction to Piper.
And then after 3 weeks of seeing Piper having great reactions, she was nowhere to be seen this week.
I'm just surprised with how lousy Candace's booking is. Like, especially considering she's one of like the NXT golden children.
She's really good in the ring, but
honestly, well, even then, they
NXT,
haven't done anything to like help
NXT,
her out there.
What did she really do? It was Gargano's freaking hilarity, and the whole like wrestling's a storyline that really had her be anything there. And yeah, she was putting on good matches, but she wasn't contributing to those storylines that much.
Not the storylines.
She was like when she was evil, but even then, I don't think she's ever been that strong a character. It's just getting exposed on the main roster, I think.
I know. I'll still hold out hope there because, like, she really is a really good performer.
I do like her as a performer, mm-hmm. and I really enjoy her matches, but she's got to find something else on the main roster because it doesn't seem like she's getting any sort of reaction. And with purple hair, probably should be getting a reaction.
Well, we've all learned, like, once you get to the main roster, just having a... Not even... Like, you can have a hair color. You can't. Like, that's too NXT. That's too edgy. That's too alternative for some people. Well, she doesn't look like a diva.
Learned that... Everybody with colored hair, yeah, like, is getting no reactions. Like, I mean, well, Shotzi is getting reactions, but Tegan came in with her hair all super colored. No reactions.
But that's just Tegan. I'm sorry. Dakota, Io, yeah, like it's the edge isn't working.
You can't just expect people to buy into these women because they look cool.
Yeah,
this isn't the 80s anymore.
That's true.
You gotta give them meat, and they haven't been doing any of that shit. Like, none of this is on them. As much as I like to pretend it's Liv Morgan, it's not even her. It's Triple H.
Yeah.
I don't know why he's booking the women as abysmally as he is, and I hope it changes.
This is about the reset time. It's WrestleMania. After that, I don't know.
It's kind of the point where I hate this story that Cody's happening, but God, please just fucking finish it so Triple H can actually focus on women's wrestling the way he did with NXT.
Yeah.
And make it carry that show, because it's, look at the ramifications. Like, it's still carrying that show. I don't ever see, maybe it's just my algorithm, but I don't ever see people talking about Bron Breakker. I don't ever see people talking about Grayson Waller. I see people talking about Mello occasionally. I don't ever see people talking about, who else is on there? Dijak? I see people talking about Sol Ruka, Roxanne Perez, Maiko, Casey and Kaden.
Yep.
Zoe Stark.
Tiffany.
Tiffany Stratton. Like, people are not talking about any of the dudes on that roster. And that is a relic of when Triple H turned it into the best women's roster.
And you can do it again on the roster. Yeah.
He has the women to do it. He just isn't booking them or giving them time that way. And it's super annoying.
I think, too.
Because I love all these women that are on the roster. Like, I don't want to shit on Liv Morgan. I love all the women that are on the roster. And I think they could all compete with the exception of Natalya. Let's go. Book them accordingly.
Hey, you need to respect our tugboat.
Put the boat in the Hall of Fame already, and let's just leave it in that shipyard and never pull it out again.
I think, too, like, they're really trying to go for different angles than what their NXT stories were or what their NXT characters were. I think, honestly, the person who has really benefited from like a character change and it's working is Piper. We're just not seeing enough of her, because we got enough of Doudrop.
Yeah.
Where people could tell, like, we feel like this character should be better because of her size and her ability. Why isn't she better? We hate the name Doudrop. Like, that's all it was.
Yeah.
It was just her stupid name. You know, just change everybody's name so that way they can get like a nice palate cleanser. And then, well, I mean, I guess not. That's not the case for Damage Control, because they did that with Io. But actually, I'm loving Io on main roster here because of how she's so like she doesn't seem like she cares the way like Dakota's so eager. Io is just really chill and doesn't seem to be paying attention to much of the conversations going on. But then she'll interject like last minute, like, hey, wait a minute. But again, it's not coming across like to a wider range of people.
Yeah, count me in that, because I'm completely done with Damage Control after Monday.
Okay, so
after next Monday, I will be completely done with Damage Control.
We'll talk about that a little bit later, too. But let's talk about Asuka versus Bianca. They're going to face each other at WrestleMania. I don't think Bianca's ready for
That's
Asuka.
That's the match I'm most looking forward to that they've announced.
I don't think she's ready.
No. She shouldn't be at this point.
Like,
this
Bianca was
a girl. Bianca had it.
Bianca was a baby when Asuka was the NXT Women's Champion.
Last year, she needs to carry that belt all the way into the next WrestleMania, right?
Yeah.
It's the next WrestleMania.
Yeah.
It's done. It's Asuka's time now.
No, I really do think so, especially with the way that Asuka did come back. It only makes sense for her to be the one to end Bianca's reign. Bianca's done so much.
Yeah.
The way she kicked off her reign, too, just like... At WrestleMania, she's had like the main event, or she's had the match with Sasha before. She redeemed herself from her loss against Becky. She's fought off Bayley how many times?
At the expense of Damage Control.
No, Bianca, like, I feel like she, the way they say like about beauty pageant queens who have had like an amazing reign, I feel like Bianca's just had that like amazing reign. Like, she's done the title good. She's worn the crown well. And now we need like a villain to take it over.
Yeah. They, it's crazy. Like, in between the handoff that happened, it was forced to happen between Vince McMahon and Triple H. And as much as I'm shitting on Triple H's women's booking, since WrestleMania and even before then, Bianca's been booked perfectly.
Oh,
she's maybe the one person in the company.
Since she debuted, honestly. Because yeah. she debuted during pandemic.
Yeah, yeah.
And they really did, you know.
No, because when they brought her out with Montez for a little while, like that was where she got lost. But when not they even. When they re-debuted her.
They didn't. She debuted with Street Profits.
Right.
And even when she came up with him, because they all kind of came up around the same time, Street Profits was like the, they were supposed to be the main push. And Bianca was maybe their valet. And it was kind of like, let's test out Bianca. She got a better reception. She performed, like she would, I'm trying to remember, like when people would get involved, she would take them out. Like she wasn't having matches, but she was still being she like showcased on TV.
Stop in the beginning.
Huh?
They were very start stop with her in the beginning.
I don't think they really knew like what they were going to do with her. And right. that's why they kept her with Street Profits. But even then, she stood out. Yeah. And that's why she never felt like she was done wrong. Like, I think since she's debuted, it actually like played out very well.
I'd say the first 6 months she was lost.
I don't think you're remembering that timeline correctly.
I don't think you are. But anyway, from the time that she started going and like, no, because she was done wrong. That Becky decision was the wrong decision.
Oh.
Absolutely. Completely.
I think that was like fulfilling a contract thing. Unequivocally
the wrong decision.
Yeah.
And she was done wrong there. But that's what I'm saying. From the point where like maybe Royal Rumble, is that how she punched her ticket to WrestleMania? Or was it Sasha that won?
No. Bianca won.
Bianca won, right? So then that's from Royal Rumble to WrestleMania, to this WrestleMania, Bianca has been booked perfectly.
Yeah. Actually, no, you know what?
And now's the time for her to lose it.
Her very first Royal Rumble performance,
yeah.
When she came, because she came out at what, number two?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when people were like,
that might be the turnaround.
Whoa.
Because the first few months before that was when she was
hanging out with Street Profits.
Triple H, like, just in NXT, like the second thought kind of booking.
Oh man, NXT, like, she just never got her comeuppance.
She's just really great, but we're just not like, we have Shayna and we have all this other stuff. That's what she felt like when she first came out, because she was there with them and she wasn't the main star that she should have been. And it wasn't until that point where they proved that she could be and people were like into it. And from that point, then, yeah.
I think that's what happened though, is that like, okay, so we saw her in NXT. I honestly thought if she had stayed there longer, she would have gotten her, like, finally gotten that title she was like, that she deserved, not just because like, oh, she deserves it, it's her turn. No. Like, she should have gotten that title, but I think they really did want to call her up earlier.
Yeah.
And so when that Vince
always
got her,
had the vision with her.
Yeah. And so I think that's why, like, he was like, all right, we're going to like feel her out, put her with her husband or whatever, and she still like outshone them.
Yeah, like, homie sucks and he's a terrible person and I wish him a lot of ill, but Vince McMahon
he got Bianca had
the vision with Bianca for sure.
Oh man, that's what I'm saying, like she's had an incredible reign as Miss WWE this year,
and now it's time for Murder Clown to kick her head off.
Sorry. That's just how soap operas go. Yeah. But yeah, that match is going to kick ass.
That's my most looked forward. I don't think, and like all the stuff that they're alluding to that they haven't announced, Theory and Cena and Roman and Paul and Rollins, even if it does come down to like a Becky and Bayley Hell in a Cell, which they're not going to get, or we're going to get them with some geezers in the ring with them that they're going to have to wrestle around. That's going to be my most anticipated match. It's not even going to be one of the main events, but that's the one I'm looking forward to.
It's
going to
be great. Well,
those are probably my two favorite wrestlers on the roster right now.
Let's talk about Rhea Ripley. Highlight. This was my favorite match of Chamber.
Surprisingly.
Okay.
This
is
the best intergender match they've ever put on.
Judgment Day versus Hot Edge and Hot Beth. But this was like the Beth and Rhea show.
Right. As it should have been.
Honestly, Edge and Finn kicked it off. Edge and Finn finished it. But everything in between was all Rhea, all Beth. And damn, it was cool.
I've been clamoring for this since they first showed them a few months ago.
I think Edge has been clamoring for this since he first saw Rhea.
Well, no, then that little dickhead had to go and I'm going to film a show and we're going to put this on ice for 3 months and make it make no sense when Rhea's losing a match going into Road to WrestleMania. Like, come on. And I'm glad that they had that interview today where she's just like, I'm putting all that behind me because we're done with that. Yeah. Because that was crappy booking is what she should have been able to say afterwards. And just because this asshole had to go film a show and we had to ice this story doesn't mean that I should have taken that loss. Nobody should ever, like, that match should be no consideration on anybody other than a gift that I gave to you to wrestle Beth Phoenix. Which, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Rhea.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mommy.
I don't want to see any old-timer ever again until I get to see another Beth Phoenix run. Because she is better than everybody but maybe six people on the roster right
now. Ooh, book Beth and Bailey.
Beth and everybody. She was so good. Like, talk about storytelling and, like, getting the psychology of matches.
Right.
That's who you replaced Mercedes with. In terms of, like, being able to work your people and get experience to them. Just give her a run already. I want to see Beth versus everybody so badly.
You know what's funny is Beth and Natalya are best friends.
Right.
So, like, let's just talk about as soon as they both get tagged in, right? Well, first of all, Beth was assisting Edge, like, to beat up Finn. She, like, whipped him into Finn or something. Yeah. But once they got tagged in and it was Beth and Rhea, they started trading. What is it? They're just like clotheslining each other, right. But nobody was moving an inch. They're both so like big and muscly, like they could not like take each other down.
Yeah.
Cause they were like so fresh in the match. Cause eventually they did clothesline each other, double clothesline, and they were like out. But granted, this match went on forever. This was such a long match, yeah, too.
I think this definitely was just like the featured match of the night for sure.
That was like the other funny part too. When Beth is telling,
obviously.
Yeah. When Beth was telling Rhea, like, I've been waiting for this, and they had to bleep Rhea out. She's like, you've been waiting for this. I've been fucking waiting for this.
Bitch, I've been fucking waiting for this. Bitches, I've been fucking waiting for this. And that's not even referring to them. I'm referring to Edge and his stupid ego.
He has, whatever. Anyway.
I'm just kidding.
You don't talk about my husband and his wife this way.
I'm talking about Edge and his stupid acting career. I would never refer to those Amazons like that. They would curl into a ball.
Yeah, so Beth and Rhea do like their feats of strength demonstration. Whatever their lockup was forever. Like, they just could not take each other down. Dominic had to get involved. There's a lot of cursing in this match. They couldn't bleep out everybody, but there was a lot of hate towards Dominic. I think that got, like, people even more, like, riled up for this match, which was good. He's such a good heel.
Crowd is really good. Yeah, he is.
He's like, and again,
no one will give him credit for it, but he's very much in, like, a Miz sense. He just gets... And maybe it's not that he gets it. Maybe it's like a SpongeBob behind a curtain thing. But as soon as he comes out behind that curtain, it's booze raining down. But it doesn't feel like Baron Corbin go away heat. It feels like very much ribbing you, like, ah, fuck you, get out of here. You're all because you're stupid dad.
Yeah, and it's funny.
And we love, like, your dad. And we hate you.
They're booing him, and he's just like, you guys love me, though. He's like, has his arms extended, like, you guys, like, your booze only feed me. They give me energy. So he gets chased off by Edge. Everyone's singing, na, 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 na. And then, like, they sang too long. He came back.
You know Triple H is like, go back out there. He was trying to walk back to the locker rooms. And he's like, where you going, stupid?
Get back out there. And this entire time, Beth and Rhea are just like destroying each other. Beth did like that crazy ass DDT on her, which, again, not my favorite move, but when Beth applied it, holy crap. DDTs, and when Rhea great. Sold it, holy crap.
DDTs are great. You just hate her because Alexa Bliss.
She finally figured it out later, but yes, I'm not a fan of DDTs. Man, that was, I think, what's it called? Beth was trying to get to Edge to tag him in, and then, like, Finn took edge out from his feet.
Yeah, so, crawled under the ring.
So when he did that, you still get more Beth and Rhea. Yeah. And then they did their superplex off the top rope. I didn't think that was going to happen because, again, Dominic is getting involved. Stupid Dominic couldn't knock down Beth because Dominic sucks.
A million times stronger than him.
She's just like flicking her ankle and he like falls off the apron. Oh, man. But they did the... I didn't know that Edge's move, like submission.
Yeah.
What is the educator? Well, whatever that is, I didn't know it was called an educator. And then there was that other, what his other move is just like a pun on Edge. And it was very like a letdown to hear that because I'm pretty sure that was like during his rated R run.
As much as you love him, you missed all of his career, basically.
I'm telling you, as soon as
stare at stardom,
it was like as soon as him and Lita got together, I was like, this doesn't feel right. I don't want to watch this. But that's also when I thought it was too cool to watch wrestling because I was in high school, so couldn't watch it. But anyway, they did a double submission on Rhea and Finn. And I loved that Finn was like, he's like screaming in pain. And Rhea's like hitting him like, you're not going to tap out.
Grabbing his hand. Yeah.
Like a true leader of this faction, which she is. Right. she headbutted Rhea headbutted Beth too. And then she got the brass knuckles from Dominic. Yeah. And she hit Edge in the head with those. But that's
she threatened to kill his wife.
That was the best part. Like, they've been torturing Edge this whole time, Judgment Day. And so Dominic is helping Rhea get Beth set up on the steps, as he should. And so Beth is like trapped on the steps. Rhea has a chair. She's like, hey, Edge.
I'm gonna kill your wife. She's so great. I fucking love Rhea Ripley.
But Beth was able to escape and she glam slammed Rhea on the outside.
I love like yelling shit in wrestling. Rhea just gets it. She's the best.
Education. That's the name of the other stupid move. So he did that on Finn. He suicide dove on Dom. He speared Finn again. And then him and Beth applied, what is it? Shatter machine on Finn.
Yeah.
And that ended the match. What a ride. That was such a good... Yeah, that was my favorite.
Edge needs to go home and watch the children because I don't give Beth a shit about this. Him. He already got his Royal Rumble return. Everybody loves you. Go away. Beth.
It's Beth's time to shine.
As soon as Rhea gets that belt, Beth needs to start
Imagine. That'd be so cool.
And take it from her. Not just chasing her, take it from her. But
so real quick, Raw, because we watched that. We have an announcement for next week. So Bayley had her Ding Dong Hello show. Special guest is Damage Control. And she's just like giving them, singing their praises on being the best dominant tag team ever. Which is funny because some would argue that maybe Bayley was
Held the main titles while being the tag team champions.
Yeah, I mean double champ, but I guess we're just not gonna remember pandemic. Yeah, but
you, this company is so eager to erase its pandemic years for some reason.
Because Roman only came in like the last 2 months because he saw how good Bayley and Sasha were doing.
Carry a company, and yeah.
Well, anyway, Becky was saying that, you know, she hasn't had the tag team championships and maybe she wants them. They're like, yeah, stupid. You don't have a partner. And then Bayley's like, you don't even have any friends.
Which she doesn't.
But she's like, oh, who's your tag team partner gonna be? Your baby. Rue. Imagine like a baby getting power bombed by Bayley.
She'd do it too, just for the heat.
That's the other thing too. Bailey's coming out. She's ripping up people's signs. It's become like this thing now where people want to get their signs ripped up by Bailey. Yeah. She's so over in that sense too. Like, this is how they pay homage to her. Like, we still love you, even though we know you're a heel. We're in on it too. Okay. Wink, wink. Oh no, you tore my sign. But anyway, Becky's like, I have a partner in mind, and it's Lita. And that was funny too, that Bailey was just like, what, you guys just fought each other? Right. Like,
like, how are you going to point that out? And then just somehow Palpatine returned the whole fucking line. Like, yeah, we got over it. I'm sure Triple H is sitting in the back there like, yeah, this is great fucking storytelling, isn't it, guys? Like, no, it's not. You just want to fucking make Becky Lynch a Grand Slam champion. And if that's the case, just give her the fucking belt. We don't need to see old ass Lita here anymore. And this is what I was talking about, like, consistent storytelling. You're not staying to the point where Lita and Becky don't like each other, and you're just like moving past that. I saw other people putting more thought into this, saying like, yeah, oh yeah, she saw her friend Becky like going down this bad path, so she tried to stop her then. But now that she's not down this bad path, yeah, she'll stand side by side and fight with her. Like, how did you, random user on Twitter, think, give this more thought than the billion-dollar company that then went to go put the storyline on TV a week later?
Well, because Edge already did that storyline with Becky.
Like, it's so stupid. And we talked about this on Take Under last week, and I asked Hector, like, is this company incapable of doing anything other than nostalgia? And like, you see Beth and Edge in a match, as
when
much
works,
as I loved
it,
they did really good. Lita, and rumors are Trish is going to come back to WrestleMania. Like, we don't
but
need them
here. I want to see
that. I understand that you want to see that. And like,
that.
I know Marks want to see that.
You know how much
better would it be for Becky or Bailey to be in another match? Or like, rectify the two bullshit cage matches that we've gotten from them two at this point.
But also,
put them in the Hell in a Cell.
I want to see, if we're going to see these legends come back, I want to see them get decimated.
Yes.
And that's the problem that is going to happen is, like, next week, Becky and Lita are going to fight Damage Control and win those titles.
Right. And like, that's what Hector's rebuttal was. It's like, oh yeah, they've always done this with like old people putting new people. Or like, yes,
that hasn't
but
been
nobody's
the case.
Putting anybody over.
Yeah.
Rhea, the future of wrestling literally just fucking lost to geezers.
Okay, rude.
To a geezer and Beth Phoenix, because I'm not gonna detract against Beth Phoenix anymore. She
I told
is
you not to be trash talking my husband and his wife.
Whatever. She and that geezer need to go away.
Yeah, I'm not. It was a very half-assed excuse.
And I loved Lita and Trish, but I'm so done with it. Like, they're already in the Hall of Fame. Instead of being like Lita, how about you make your new Lita in Shotzi Blackheart? Start putting her over and start putting her in storylines, or anybody else.
Especially because like, Becky is so over already. Like, why wouldn't you? If you're going to bring in your legend, make it more useful to your, instead of just like, oh, well, Lita was like a fan favorite and Becky's a fan favorite right now, which is okay. Fine. It, I guess maybe it'll sell tickets, but I mean, if you're going to use Lita, like, you use her like efficiently there.
Kayfabe wise, annoying ass Bailey found friends. Becky can find a modern friend. It doesn't need to be pulling back from the vaults of WWE. It can be somebody who's on this roster that she can then start to put over and have in this feud, and like, get more people behind her. That way, when they separate, people will care about a different new person on this roster that they can give the ball to.
Why don't you just put Becky with Candace? They're both the only moms right now.
It would work.
Badass too. They're badasses for coming back to wrestling after giving birth like a year later.
Cut back promos backstage talking about being moms.
and power bombing their babies during diaper changes. I would eat that shit up. I think the justification or the way that they like explained teaming up Lita and Becky is kind of, I get it. You need your like WrestleMania draw. They usually do bring in like, you know, Undertakers and shit, but that's not even WrestleMania. This is just like for next, because they're saying they're going to walk into WrestleMania as tag team champs.
Right. And that would be excusable Like, if you want to have your Hall of Famer back. Oh, but if I you weren't gonna, literally bringing back fucking John Cena.
But I was going to say, too, that the excuse that they were giving is that, like, Lita just wants another title run. And if she can't have the main one, which is dumb, too. Like, it wasn't, like, a very well thought out, like, story. She's saying, if I can't win the title off of Becky, then why not join her and be a tag team and win these titles? Like, Lita, you didn't even try to go after the title against Bianca. Like, why aren't you doing that? Like, it was just very, yeah, it's just not good storytelling right there.
I think while Hunter was working on last week's NXT, Shawn Michaels swapped out his submitted storyline for this week's Raw with his own shitty booking. Or writing.
So there is, like, rumors of Trish coming back. And I guess, like, maybe that's the end goal is having Becky team up with Lita and Trish against Damage Control. But honestly, I would love to see, because Bayley's kind of been maybe not dropping hints, but she keeps saying, like, I've got you. Like, nobody else loves you like I do. I'm the only one that sees, like, how great you are. No, like, these idiots don't get it. And she's telling Dakota and Io, because she accepted the match on their behalf. And there was a digital exclusive backstage where she's saying, like, the reason why I accepted it is because you guys can do this. Like, hello, it's us three. So I don't know. I think she's, like, planting the seeds that she's gonna be the one to mess up this faction that she created. It's going to be her own doing.
I don't think it's even that deep. I think the point they were trying to drive home in that digital exclusive was just the numbers disadvantage. So that when the third person shows up for the other one, like, oh, hey, now we got even faction numbers. Like, I'm telling you, it's almost like Tony, like, if this is all Triple H stuff, it's almost like he's regressing to Tony Khan's fucking women as a side factor booking. Like, let's just give them the most simplistic storyline.
And it's too bad because, like, you've seen Bailey carry out an injured Dakota. Why wouldn't you have Bailey, like, if they were to lose their titles, Becky being like, Dakota, you're too injured, don't worry, I'll step in. Yeah. Because that's just, like, how title hungry Bailey is. But I don't know, I really don't think we're gonna get, like, that good of a story from all of this. It's just a setup to have a return of Trish and Lita, if that's the case. I'm fine with seeing Trish and Lita. I love seeing Trish return the last time, but I only want to see them lose horribly. Well, Becky did technically. I mean, Lita did technically lose to Becky.
Yeah. Io was tweeting, like, a while back that she wanted to fight Lita, so I'm happy for her. But, like, how much? I don't know. It just seems like we're going to get something boring going into WrestleMania when we could have, like, a singles match of Lita and Io.
Or we could have had a singles match of Bailey and Becky.
Bailey and Trish in a singles match. And then Becky with somebody else. Like, that way we can get more women's matches on this card. And we don't have to get fucking Elias versus Rick Boogs, which nobody really cares about.
I love
Rick
Boogs.
Yeah, we would care about that match. And that's a great Raw match. But for a two-night WrestleMania, no, I would much rather see Io versus Lita or Trish versus Bailey or Becky versus almost anybody else on that roster. With the exceptions of the two obvious exclusions of Liv Morgan and Natalya.
Agreed.
To bring it full circle, shitting on the first people that we shat on in the beginning of this episode.
I do want to see Becky and Candace team up. I'm just going to put that into the universe.
Good luck.
Well, let's
Triple H ain't listening.
Let's talk about Battle in the Valley. Because holy crap. Oh, it was so nice to see Mercedes wrestle again. I just love to be reminded that this is what she loves and this is what she, like, does so naturally. And because I really did think she was going to leave wrestling again for a while. But no, seeing her training in Mexico, she trained in Japan with Michael's at Michael's school. Man, she looks so good.
Comparing is hard, or, like, comparing is not fair, but. Comparing the almost all the women's stuff that we saw in the chamber to that completely different leagues.
Yeah.
They're so much faster and better. And like for her to be going the level that they did with not being in a ring for 9 months is ridiculous.
Oh, and that's the thing too. Like this, I get why Mercedes wanted to come to New Japan.
Yeah.
Because this style suits her.
Right.
Like this is her style. This has always been her style. But like seeing her here
in her,
and again, we've seen her wrestle Kairi before.
Yeah.
But like this is different. Yeah, it was so like, great.
Yeah,
they've both improved.
Well, yeah, obviously, but Kairi was never at the level that she's at. She was never like IWGP champion level or allowed to go at that level.
Yeah.
In NXT, with the exception of maybe the Mae Young roster and maybe when she first had the NXT belt. But there wasn't the people that she could go with.
Well, her tag team run with Asuka was really good.
Yeah. But yeah. But like, yeah, like, and in that time where she was a singles competitor in NXT, she didn't have the people she could go with then.
Yeah.
That she did with Mercedes, their partner like that. And yeah, going into the match, like we saw a couple other things too, where Mercedes was talking about how what she really wants to do is lead the beginning of, like, that's what is important to her, is leading the beginning of New Japan. So I knew she was winning
Women's
that
division.
Match going
yeah.
into it, but like, it's so cool for her to be there and to have been one of those first women's division, the women's revolution call-ups from NXT.
Oh, yeah, and NXT to the main roster.
Like, it's only a matter of time before she starts calling herself the Revolution.
She is the Revolution.
She needs to be.
The question that I have, I guess, is, because I don't watch a ton of New Japan, how their stories and promos play out.
Yeah,
because we really haven't seen that this whole time, as far as I know. Like, I know they do the press conferences and whatnot, but, like, leading up to this match, I don't think I really saw any...
There wasn't a whole lot.
...taped stuff, you know?
There wasn't a whole lot, and it's usually, at least from what, in my experience, like, just following the few wrestlers that I have.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, you have to look up on their Twitter or on their
YouTube
account,
videos.
And they'll have press conferences where you can get their comments going into it, and then usually right after their matches, because they're still, like, sweaty and from the matches afterwards. And I sent you a few of those interviews
yeah.
with her, and, like,
I think
it just seemed like a good moment for everybody there, and
yeah.
they did so well, like, in that match, too. I don't know how deep we're going to get into it, but, like, it felt every bit as important and as impactful as like when I was watching Kenny, and like this was me coming into New Japan, not
yeah.
really knowing them, but like watching Kenny and Okada, or like seeing, going back and watching like AJ and Shinsuke, and like these were at the
oh,
end
yeah.
of these matches, they just looked spent and they've just beaten the shit out of each other. Like they went for 25 minutes.
Yeah.
And that point where like they're where she's wrapping her at the end to like roll around at the, like for that finishing sequence, it looked like they were spent. Or there's one part where I think they're both coming off of a submission hold, and they're both like just lying out. And it reminds me of a lot of those shots where like you would see these two exhausted combatants, where it's Jay Wyatt and Okada, or Okada and Omega.
Well, I would suggest looking up Asuka and Michael
yeah.
Satamura, because they had that type of match too, and that one was really cool. That's where they had like drums playing throughout
yeah.
the whole match.
That's I mean, that's like the Japanese style, so it's cool to see them get that, because like even that's what you get in the main events of these events.
Yeah.
And for them to have been given like that time and that bit, it wasn't just lip service for them to be saying it was a double main event. Like they treated it like a double main event.
Well, I was going to say too, it wasn't a huge auditorium. So honestly, like Mercedes wasn't doing a ton of crowd work, because it's all just like the performance in the ring. And I think like the press conferences and just like the promo, I guess the promo work that goes into this brand works really well for Mercedes. She's not having to like interact with the crowd that much.
Right.
She is, even though she was like kind of, you know, she's giving her attitude, the way she would, like the way Jericho would like shit talk to the camera and stuff and like take the camera away. She does that kind of stuff well, but I mean, you don't have to work a crowd, basically. Yeah. You don't have, like, the way you do, like, in AEW and WWE, where you're waiting for these reactions to, like, see if you're, like, connecting or, like, any good. Because in this case, like, her ability is just speaking for itself.
I know that there's no way for her to, but, like, if she has already, I really hope that she's either learned Japanese or she can learn it quick enough to, like, the first time she's presented as their champion,
yeah,
to be able to speak to them in their language would be cool.
Yeah.
Whether she's going to talk shit about them or, like, talk about how proud she is to be their champion, either way, it would be a cool thing that nobody would be expecting because she hasn't done it to this point. And she didn't need to in America because she was in America. She could speak English here, but to be, like, on that turf and be able to speak Japanese, even if it's just, like, a little monologue that she could rehearse or something, would be cool.
Yeah. Well,
that's just getting ahead of ourselves because it was everything that she did.
Well, I was going to ask, when is the next time that we're going to see her, like, on TV?
I'm sure we'll see more, like, press conferences or more internet stuff. I don't know New Japan's schedule well enough.
So one of the things that we learned was that her whole gear was a tribute to Hana Kimura, who the Stardom. Was she Stardom, the wrestler who passed away? Apparently, she was, like, Sasha Mercedes was, like, her, like, she was a fan of her.
That's cool.
So, for Mercedes to come out in this head-to-toe gear, like, honoring her was so cool. Yeah. I looked it up, too, just like, yeah, it wasn't a replica, but it was her tribute to it. And it was, like, I thought that was really sweet, especially because this is her inaugural, her inaugural win, or I guess not the belt, but this is her first time in New Japan debuting and winning the title. And so it felt really big. It felt really meaningful. And it just goes to show, like, how much thought she puts into it and how much she loves this business.
Yeah.
And it makes me love it. And yeah, it just, like, it feels very like the when I first, like, fell in love with her and Bayley in NXT.
I didn't know that that was her idol until you told me, and I was like, that's just really cool of her. Like, for her to, that's what I'm saying, like, if she could do, like, the cool stuff like that to just keep paying tribute to the, like, knowing that she's not just coming in here because it was another place to go.
I was going
to
say, like, she's not, she talks about, like, getting money, getting the bag.
Right. But, like,
but no, she wouldn't lives be here. This. She breathes this.
If that was
this.
The thing, she wouldn't be here. She would be in Connecticut. She would have been in Canada on Saturday.
Yeah. Like,
it's just cool to see her get to live her dream like that. And she'll be back at some point. Like, New Japan isn't going to be able to keep her forever.
I don't know why that
I mean, unless they're a bigger threat than WWE is treating them like, New Japan will not be able to keep her forever. She will need a bigger platform at some point. But at that point, once she's gotten relationships in New Japan and she can bring some of those women over here, like, even in a faction, her and AZM or her and, like, Starlight Kid or any other two Joshis, run through Asuka and then you run through the rest of that women's division and then book them the way that you should have booked Damage Control originally.
Right. Well, I don't know. This match was really good.
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't.
And she's already talking about taking it other places and all these other people are starting, like, that's the cool thing about having such a star and saying she's going to, like, go everywhere, because you will hear everybody with her name in their mouth. And it's just going to be rumors and rumors. Like, she was also alluding to Mickie James. And now that she's the champion, she could go into multiverse of matches against Mickie James, the champion.
She can go to
Impact.
Yeah.
She can go to Stardom and fight AZM the way AZM was like, I heard she had her my name in her mouth the first time. Like, now that you're champion, I want a shot. Like, it's so cool. I didn't even know who AZM was, but then there was people on the internet like, if you're not familiar, here's some clips. And goddamn, like, I can't wait to see that match.
And this is, like, where we've been saying, build a division around Sasha Mercedes, build a show around her. This show sold out. This Battle in the Valley sold out once she was announced for the card.
Only match announced and it was sold out.
Yeah. So,
I mean, they announced all their other matches, but that alone sold it out. I mean, that should have made them the main event, but whatever, politics aside, show she's a draw.
Yes. this was, nobody was like, anyway, whatever. This is good. This is great. The end too, where she, after she won and her and Kyrie were just giving each other hugs and the love and stuff. Cause I mean, yeah, we've seen them in the same company too, which is cool, but it's funny.
I like the way the commentary is like, this seems like it could be a generational rivalry.
Yeah.
Like if they're planting those seeds and that is what it ultimately ends up becoming, that'd be really cool.
Well, and it's just funny because coming into like watching this match, I didn't think about, oh, they both used to wrestle in WWE together. It felt new. It felt different. And I'm like really excited to just like, yeah, to like be excited about this like new division again.
We didn't really have like the solo packaged big deal Kyrie versus Sasha.
No.
It was the second fiddle to Asuka versus Sasha.
Yeah. And also I never figured out how to work Stardom's website to subscribe and like get myself familiar.
Yeah.
So Mercedes is the one that's going to make me do it.
Right. Yeah. I've been seeing a lot more clips than what I was talking about with it. Like this being the, or WWE being like the MLB to the worldwide, like baseball.
Yeah.
I don't know. I might need to reevaluate that.
Oh, yeah.
Watch more Stardom because they do have some powerhouses and they have some other styles go in there too. So it's just my unfamiliarity with it.
I don't know. I think, yeah, we'll definitely be like having to explore that more now. We have no excuse. Yeah. Terrible website or not.
We do. Mercedes, get your people on that shitty website. Tell them I brought you guys money.
Yeah.
Or Monet.
No, it's money.
It is money.
It's right. Money.
I brought you guys some money. Put it into the stupid website so my people can watch me and bring you more money.
What an action-packed Saturday. So if you haven't seen those, seek out those matches. Well, maybe not. Skip Chamber. Seek out Rhea and Beth.
Skip to whatever timestamp Asuka jumps out at.
Oh, yeah. Actually, you know what? We will include that in the notes. And the Mercedes and Kyrie match, and then just more women's wrestling.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please give us a 5-star rating, leave a review, subscribe or follow, and share with your friends who love wrestling. Also, you can click on the link in the description to leave us a voice message, but not like any creepy ones. Okay, fine. A little creepy, but tone it down.